As I have tried to encourage everyone, I hope that you have already taken time to be certain of what you believe. It is times like these in a crisis that is not yet over, we want to know and be sure of what we believe. Those things will help us through. At Daleville Christian Church, we offer an affirmation of our faith, always taken from God's Word, and today's is from Titus in the third chapter. At one time, we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of God, our Savior, appeared, He saved us. Not because of righteous things we had done, but because of His mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ, our Savior, so that having been justified by His grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. The reading of God's Word today is from Matthew's book, chapter 28, verses 1 through 7. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said." May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. For Daleville Christians listening, I thought that you would want to know that I am recording the message for Easter, as I always record the messages right here in Daleville Christian Church Sanctuary. We can all imagine ourselves gathered for worship this Easter Sunday. If you can and want to, we can do this again the next couple of Sundays at 10 a.m., and we can be in the Word together. The celebration of Easter for the churches is always about celebrating the resurrection, the gift of eternal life. This gift was demonstrated, proven, proved, and offered by God the Father through Jesus Christ, Messiah, by Jesus' resurrection, Jesus, God's Son. Almost everyone believes in the resurrection, or maybe I should be more precise. Almost everyone believes in an afterlife or eternal life, and most people believe in an afterlife in heaven. There's a problem with that, and we'll get to that problem after a bit. But first, let's make certain that we are all on the same page about Jesus' resurrection from the dead. The words to the women at the tomb say plenty. The women had gone to the tomb to properly bury the body of Jesus, since there had been no time for preparation on the day Jesus was killed through official capital punishment of crucifixion. The words said to the women at the tomb, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said." Just as Jesus said. That's the key. Just as Jesus said. You may recall that Jesus had tried to tell the disciples what would happen. Jesus had tried to tell the disciples that he, Jesus, would be arrested, delivered or handed over, and suffer. And all of those references are for you in the sermon notes. The condemnation to death would be done by the authorities, and therefore it would all be legal. It would be death by crucifixion, and everyone then knew that crucifixion was a Roman method of capital punishment. Typically, crucifixion was a punishment for treason or rebellion against the authority of Rome. But the disciples couldn't hear it. Jesus had even stated that the entire outline of what would happen could be found in the Bible, what we know as the Old Testament, God's Word. Jesus said to the disciples, "As you know, the Passover is 2 days away, and the Son of Man will be handed over to be crucified. The Son of Man will go just as it is written about him." It is written. It's all written down already. Jesus said it once more in the Garden of Gethsemane, just before Jesus' disciples abandoned Jesus, saying to the disciples, "But this has all taken place that the writings of the prophets might be fulfilled." Then all the disciples deserted him and fled. Again, the words to the women at the tomb, "Do not be afraid. He has risen just as he said." So to be clear, the dead body of Jesus is not in the tomb. This is what the women discovered at the tomb that Sunday so long ago, which we now call Easter Sunday. And more than that, Jesus is not here. Jesus is not in the tomb. Jesus has risen. Jesus is alive again after having been dead. And we, the followers of Jesus, know the full meaning of these words. Jesus was not revived. Jesus was resurrected. But at this point in Matthew's report, Matthew did not mention that the tomb was open, although the tomb was open, that the rock cover of the tomb, which also had official Roman Empire keep-out crime tape over the rock, that rock had been moved. And therefore, the open tomb was another crime committed, but the open tomb, which was empty, was and still is the physical evidence of something extraordinary having taken place. Open tomb, missing body, and words of witness. Words that Jesus himself had spoken. For the words spoken by the messenger at the tomb, "He is not here, he has risen, just as Jesus said." As I mentioned, Jesus is risen. But Jesus was not revived. Jesus was and is resurrected. You may recall that Jesus raised several people to life: Lazarus, a little girl, a widow's son. They were revived and healed, not simply brought back to life, but healed of whatever killed them. All of those people Jesus raised while Jesus walked the earth, those people would die again. Jesus, on the other hand, was resurrected. This is true in large part because Jesus was both God and man. Jesus was raised from the dead never to die. Jesus was raised to eternal life. The Daleville Christian Church congregation knows that I really like to play around with words, and I feel it necessary to explain resurrection because the followers of Jesus use it in this very unique meaning. Let's take all the given like words or synonyms for resurrection, words like reanimation, regeneration, rejuvenation, resuscitation, revitalization. The Bible and the followers of Jesus say Jesus was none of those. Jesus was resurrected to life eternal. And I return to the words spoken by the messenger at the tomb. "He's not here. He has risen just as he said." He is risen just as Jesus said. For the followers of Jesus, Jesus' resurrection is a hope and a future. The followers of Jesus, in the ritual of baptism, are like Jesus raised to new life. The letter of Paul to the churches in Rome, chapter 6, verse 4. We were therefore buried with Jesus through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. This new life is made possible by God's grace and the now indwelling Holy Spirit, a new life, a transforming life that transforms us from the inside out. A transforming life that will then spiritually go on forever with God the Father in the heavenly places. It's a new life, a new way of life for you to be you. A new way to be human. This brings us to the problem I mentioned. So few people believe in hell. Even among the followers of Jesus, there are many who do not believe in hell. And yet, Jesus, our Lord, spoke more about hell than anyone else in the New Testament. So hell does exist, and there are those who will go there. When I've preached about hell, I've made it clear that anyone who does not want to go to heaven, they definitely will not go to heaven. And you might say, Pastor, that's silly. No one wants to go to hell. And I would just say, you don't know all the people I know. Not everyone wants to go to heaven, and they won't go there. The Lord is not going to force heaven on anyone. Now, I'm not one of those preachers who divides people up into who's going to heaven and who is not. I know I don't decide that question. What I usually tell people is that if you want to go to heaven, you should talk to someone who knows how to get there. I don't know how to get to heaven. I do know the person who does know how to get to heaven, and that person is Jesus. If you talk to Jesus and follow Jesus, you can follow Jesus right to heaven. See John chapter 14, verse 3. Another author I read, Bill Wiese, asked the question this way: if you don't talk to God now or regularly, why would you want to live with God forever? Actually, Mr. Wiese has his question put a little harsher than that. If you've never spoken with God, why would God let you into his house to live forever? So this brings us to what I'm calling the problem I mentioned earlier. Almost everyone believes in an afterlife, and most people believe in an afterlife in heaven. The problem with that is the Bible doesn't say that, right? Jesus and Paul were talking about heaven for people who follow Jesus. Jesus is recorded as saying about a dozen times, "Follow me." For today, you should notice Matthew's gospel book, since that's what we're looking at today. And I have these references for you in the sermon notes. Some I pointed out to you already. But especially Jesus' statement to the rich man who asked about eternal life. Jesus stated that it wasn't really enough for him to sell his wealth and give it to the poor. But then the man was to follow Jesus. Now, there's a whole other discussion here about everyone selling their possessions, because Jesus didn't say that to everyone, just this one guy. That topic's really a whole other sermon, but the point is that Jesus added the statement, "and follow me," and the guy wouldn't do it. There's been a popular television program that talks about heaven. The show doesn't say it is about heaven. And the successful writer of the show could easily claim that the program is not about heaven. The program was called The Good Place. I say was called that because The Good Place concluded its run after four seasons. But maybe the program was about a heaven and not the heaven, because, let's face it, the heaven carries a lot of baggage, does it not? One reviewer said that the show was really more about questions of philosophy, people asking themselves whether they were good people, how they could be better, and how they could help other people be better as well. All this while constantly running from demons and trying to save humanity. Another said the show was a deeper meditation on what it means to be a good person and how and when that goodness can be rewarded. Another reviewer of the program learned this: we owe it to each other, all of our fellow beings on this planet, to try our best to be good. The program was really a different discussion than the questions I am posing. But since more people like the television program and like it more than they read the Bible, I thought I should mention it. As a follower of Jesus, there can't be any questions for me about goodness that aren't questions about Jesus. We can talk about goodness for others, but all I know is about goodness with reference to Jesus. And yes, lots of so-called Christians still don't get that connection between Jesus and goodness in this life. But more to the point of Matthew's gospel book, there can't be any questions about heaven that aren't about Jesus. You seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not in the tomb. He is risen, just as Jesus said. That's important. Jesus' resurrection also makes what Jesus said true. Jesus' resurrection makes everything Jesus said true. If you're not convinced that Jesus' resurrection makes everything Jesus said true, consider that Jesus said beforehand that everything that would happen did happen, just as Jesus said it would happen. That also confirms the truth of Jesus' words. And more than that, it confirms the truth of all the words that Jesus said. Not just the ones Jesus said about what was going to happen when they got to Jerusalem. When Jesus spoke the Sermon on the Mount, all true words. Those things Jesus taught in the synagogues, those teachings were all true also. All true, all of it. The words recorded for us in the gospel accounts, what some of you know as the writing in red letters in your Bibles, they don't do that red lettering in very many digital Bibles, do they? Well, those words, if you see red ones, all true. Jesus' resurrection gives the followers of Jesus a future and a hope. Much of the rest of the New Testament talks about eternal life or resurrected life. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, you would want to read that and read the entire chapter. Paul, who wrote it, was trained in what you and I call the Old Testament scriptures. So resurrected life is available to you and to me, and to all who call upon Jesus as Lord and Savior. So again, this Easter, we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, Messiah, from the dead, just as Jesus said it would take place. And the churches that follow Jesus, in Jesus' name, offer to any and all eternal life to any and all who call upon Jesus as Lord and Savior. I encourage all of you to talk to Jesus about it. Jesus is risen, just as Jesus said. Amen.